Malcolm here, and welcome to the podcast version of my newsletter, dated Friday the 3rd of April 2020. How has your week been? Another week of being messed around by the COVID-19 virus, I dare say, like me. Somewhat confusing at times, messy, annoying, just frustrating, all kinds of strange things happening and feeling. Well, I hope that what I've got to share with you today might lift up your spirit as we talk about, well, our title is How Not to Sink. How Not to Sink. And have a look at my website, have a look at the newsletter, and you'll see a nice picture there of a boat on a canal that I saw yesterday. More on that in just a moment. But first of all, I want to talk about something I previewed in last week's newsletter and podcast about the issue of loneliness, more expansively, one could say, on more the topic of self-care and caring for others. And I want to thank everybody who sent me some feedback on what I previewed last time, especially Leslie. Thank you, Leslie. Very helpful email you sent me. Loneliness is a very real issue at the best of times, but especially now. Well, I thoroughly enjoyed interviewing Joan Mankoo from the Thames Valley Churches of Christ on that topic today, on the day of recording, and that's on my website. The fruit of that's in the podcast interview. She's a counsellor, a trained, qualified counsellor, as well as a long-standing Christian, a member of the church there. I think you'll find her thoughts very interesting and helpful. There's also a PDF of some tips for self-care and to help others on my website. So have a look at that. But, you know, it's an interesting thing, this isolation, isn't it? And for some people, it's more troublesome than others. So I thought I'd bring you today five areas of my life this week where perhaps social isolation has taught me things or confirmed things in me or given me new insights. So five things this week social isolation has taught me. First of all, gratitude for the church. Oh, I'm so grateful for the church. There's been an avalanche of initiative. People have been supporting one another, eagerly embracing new ways of doing church. I haven't heard anybody moan, oh, we have to do it online. And just, well, let's try it. I mean, that may not be ideal. It may not be the way we want to do it forever, but that's okay. Let's give it a go. And I love that spirit. Let's just do something here. The God spirit is moving. Let's cooperate with that. My phone battery has been running down more than once a day. I've had to recharge it sometimes even twice a day. Because I'm doing lots more video calls on Skype or Zoom or something. It's been running down as people ring me, I ring them, we talk on the phone. It's been brilliant. I mean, nothing beats the in-the-flesh fellowship, does it? But virtual fellowship is still pretty awesome because even though you're not there in the flesh, you know people care. They've rung you, they've called you, they've contacted you because they really care. I really am even more grateful for the church at a time like this. Secondly, silver linings. Despite all the bad news, and let's face it, there's plenty of that, God is still working. I was really heartened to hear about how the virus crisis had brought reconciliation to a friend's parents. They'd been separated, now they're together through circumstances I shared about in the sermon without mentioning names. It was heartwarming to hear about that. If it wasn't for the virus, those parents would not be reconciled. I'm not saying God caused the virus for that purpose, but God brings good things through, even these difficult things. My prayers this week, I mean, just praying has been difficult this week, more than most weeks at times, but my prayers have also been different, and there's been growth in that because of it. I've learned new technologies, Slack and Zoom and Google Meet and other things. I've been connecting with new people. Thank you for the email from somebody from Los Angeles, somebody from San Antonio this week in the deaf ministry there. Thank you for subscribing, by the way. And India and the Philippines. And this newsletter is now going out to more people than ever. I'm creeping up towards the 100 subscribers to my newsletter mark, which isn't really huge in numerical terms by some people's standards, but it's just nice to connect with new people. And I'm just very grateful for that. And I found new ways of making a difference for the kingdom. Chris Reed over in Stockholm and I had a conversation last week when he posed the question to me or referenced this question, what's been better since the COVID-19 virus crisis? What's been better? And I loved that question because it's so easy to let the things that have been worse dominate and easy to write a very long list. And there are bad things. I'm not papering over those cracks. But the truth is, if you stop and think enough and long enough about it, you will find that many things have been better. I mean, even in our country, in the UK, there's a greater appreciation for the National Health Service than there has ever been. Yes, we have a sort of love-hate relationship with it in this country, and we do value it. But, you know, to see people opposite me on the other side of our street on Thursday evening, stepping out of their house, Shirley and Andy, our neighbours across the road, and clapping and cheering for the NHS, was deeply moving. And so there are some things that have been better, if you like, globally, generally, and there are some things that have been better for you and for me. And maybe a useful spiritual discipline this weekend might be to sit down and make a list of all the things that have been better, at least for you. I wonder what those are. If you wouldn't mind telling me, sharing them, I'd love to know. I share about some of those in my sermon and in my other posts this week. Thirdly, third thing the social isolation has taught me more this week: learning from other people. How helpful it is to learn from other people. So being at home has made me think differently about podcasting and video recordings. I've done some things I normally do, but I've done some different things. I've conducted two interviews this week, which are included in the newsletter on my website. I might not have done that if circumstances had been, if you like, normal. But those two interviews with Joan, I mentioned earlier, and Rolene down from Thames Valley have been very enriching. And not only that, but I've been on YouTube a lot, brushing up my skills in new technology, learning better how to do podcasting better, how to interview better, how to split tracks, how to improve the quality of the audio, so many things. And truthfully, I love learning. And so this has been a tremendous opportunity. Number four thing that social isolation has taught me this week: the riches of God's word. I first studied through the Psalms of Ascent about maybe 10 years ago, and that had a big impact on me at the time, and I did a preaching series then for the Northwest in London. It was terrific. I really enjoyed it. However, restudying the Psalms of Ascent for the current podcast series has helped me to see new relevance in it. I'm digging new things out, new things are standing out to me, new things are meaningful to me. It's reminded me that just because I've read something, studied something once, doesn't mean that's all there is for it to teach me. It's really deepened my appreciation for God's word. And I'm also very grateful to you, Simon Dinning, you know who you are, and for you, Andy Boachi, again, you know who you are, for your YouTube series and podcast series respectively on Isaiah and Galatians respectively. I have loved those, and those books of Isaiah and Galatians are coming alive for me more than ever before. And that I would not have seen, I don't believe, if this virus hadn't hit and if we didn't have as much social isolation as we do. Grateful for that. Fifthly and finally, one other thing that the social isolation has taught me and enabled is reading. Now, if you know me, you know I do love to read. Even when I'm reading a lot, I still think I'm not reading enough. And I haven't still done as much reading as I would like to have done, but I have been every morning reading a section from the book Life Without Lack by Dallas Willard, which is themed on Psalm 23. The Lord's my shepherd, I lack nothing, I lack no good thing. Life without lack. And I've been very taken with his explanation of how we arrive at the place where we can enjoy a life without lack. How is that possible? And to enjoy the maturity of that kind of relationship with God requires, well, three steps. First, faith, which is really trust, basically. Trust in God and his way. Then death, in other words, death to self. Really living, allowing Christ to live in me and through me, taking on his priorities, that, and then that resulting in the experience of receiving God's love, the agape love, and then the ability to love others in that same way. This is life in its fullness. This is life without lack. Those three stages of faith, then death, and then love. And of course, no one exemplifies that better than Jesus. The life of Jesus is all about that. His life of trust and faith in God, the Father, going to the cross to die for us, and then having the Spirit to pour out upon all of his followers so that we could experience that closeness, that relationship with God, that Abba, Father, daddy relationship that we can then pass on to others, that new life that's on offer. And Andy Boachi references a lot about this new life, which, again, go and listen to Andy's podcast and Simon Dinning's YouTube series. I mean, listen to my stuff, if you don't mind. I'd appreciate that. But listen to their stuff as well. It's fantastic. Anyway, more on that stuff from Dallas Willard another time. And in the sermon series I'm working on, based on Psalm 23, that I'm hoping to do later this year. I'm looking forward to that. So a final note. Now, why is our newsletter and podcast called How Not to Sink? Well, a final note for any of us feeling any sense of despair. I mean, this isolation can get to you after a while. I want to urge you, don't let the water in. What do I mean? Well, let me quote, I think paraphrase, Eugene Peterson from his book, Along Obedience, in the same direction. When he said something like this: all the water in the oceans cannot sink a ship unless it gets inside it. The same is true of evil. And God is the one who keeps us watertight. I like the way he puts that. Look at all the water in the ocean. It's overwhelming. Look how much there is and how small a boat or a ship is. But actually, the ship is fine. The ship is safe as long as the water stays outside. And the same is true of evil. There may be a lot of evil. There may be a lot of pain, a lot of mourning, a lot of death, a lot of destruction, a lot of confusion, a lot of difficulties going on right now. There's a lot of it. But it doesn't mean that you and I need to sink, because God has got us. He's got us sealed up. The Holy Spirit seals us. Ephesians 1:13, he's the seal, the guarantor of our inheritance. He's keeping us sealed up, ready for that day, the day when it comes, and he's keeping us watertight. Yesterday, I was on a prayer walk and walking by my local canal, and I saw a sad sight of a canal boat that had sunk. I mean, there's a picture in the newsletter. There's no reason for any of us to sink whilst we have the Spirit. Do hold on. Rescue is coming. God has promised it, and we know that that rescue is coming because Jesus lives. He died, and now he lives. Peter said to Jesus when he was sinking in the water in Matthew 14, verse 30, he was afraid, he began to sink, and he cried out, "Lord, save me." And what did Jesus do in all of his grace and love? He saved him. Yes, he rebuked Peter, but he saved him. That's pretty good. And maybe you and I need a rebuke, maybe not. But we will be saved if we hold on to Jesus at times like this. Well, I do hope that what I've written in the podcast or recorded in the podcast and written in the newsletter on my website helps you this week. A couple of notes about what's on there. You've got the latest editions of the Psalms of Ascent podcast series. Episodes 134 to 139 have been posted already this week. I've got my interview with Joan Manku on coronavirus and well-being. I think you'll like that. Penny, my wife, did a podcast, which is on Doug Jacoby's website as well. You'll see it there. Her podcast is called On Being a Christian and End of Life Care. It's a super podcast, and it tackles that really tricky but important subject of end of life care. And she speaks there both as a Christian, but also as a doctor, an experienced doctor and a GP who's had to do a lot of work with helping patients and their relatives deal with end of life care issues. So I think you'll find that useful, whether it's now or in the future. You'll find it relevant at some point. Then also my interview with Rolene about how to plan for meaningful online children's ministry. Really interesting. It's an innovative and developing area. How to do children's ministry online. So if you're interested in that, that's on the website as well. In terms of Thames Valley, I'm delighted to say that Chris Birtles has started a new class series, 4 classes on a topic called Narrow Road, Broad Mind. So you might like to check that out. That's on the YouTube channel for the Thames Valley Churches of Christ and the website. Watford, we're carrying on with our normal meetings, but online. Last Sunday's sermon on Psalm 121 that I taught, called Who is Looking After You, can be found on the my website and on the various other places you'll normally find it. This week, Stefan Woolmerens will be speaking. Looking forward to that. So you can join us for our online service if you like. The link is on our newsletter. And if you know anybody who might like to attend us virtually, with us virtually, then pass the link on to them. That's on the newsletter and on my website as well. Well, I think that's it for this week. It's been a strange week. So was last week, actually, come to think of it. And I expect this coming week going to be rather strange. But I just want to thank all of you. I want to thank those of you who comment, especially those of you who've been commenting on Facebook, Sandra, and others. Thank you very much. I'm very grateful for the comments, for the emails. It helps me, guides me into what sorts of things might be useful to record about. So if you've got any topic suggestions, do let me know. I would like to ask you to pray for me, pray for my wife especially, as she is a doctor and is in the front line there and is, well, she's probably going to get that virus sometime, and I'm probably going to get it from her. So pray for us both, as we're not exactly elderly, but you know, we're creeping up there. I won't tell you my wife's age, but I'll tell you I'm 59. So do pray for us, and pray that God will reveal how you and I can be useful to him and make a difference in this world at this time. Not such that we're waiting until it's all over, but what has God got for you and I to do now? To do now that will strengthen the church, edify the saints, and bring the good news of God's love and God and Christ's kingship to other people who don't yet know about that. What's our part in that? What can we do? So let's pray about that. And if you've got any other thoughts, do let me know. But thanks again for listening. Thanks again for being with me. And I just really hope that you, not only do you not sink, but I hope that you enjoy sailing, even in these choppy waters, because Jesus is with us. Till the next time, take care and God bless.